This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Afternoons on FNR Football Nation Radio with Adriano De Monte and Rick D'Andrea.
Hello there and welcome to Afternoons here on FNR Football Nation Radio. We are back with another day talking all things European football on a morning where the quarterfinals in the Europa League have been confirmed. That's right, eight remaining participants in that competition. And I'd go as far as saying eight of the best quarterfinals we've ever seen collectively. Promises to be a thrilling quarterfinal draw. Of course, all those teams will learn their fate, and we'll learn the fates of those teams this evening, local time here in Australia, when the draws for the UEFA Champions League and UEFA Europa League quarterfinals are complete. We'll preview those draws a little later on in the program, as well as recap those eight results from overnight. And, of course, it is a Friday, and that means the busiest show of the week as we look ahead to all of the action across the top club and some cup competitions this weekend as well. Plenty to get through. You would note that we are not streaming live on Facebook today. So if you are there, you are not. You are with us via our app or our website, footballnationradio.com. That means we are taking calls and your tweets for the entirety of the program today at FNR underscore radio on Twitter, 9944999. Give us a call at any point throughout the program, 03 if you're calling from interstate. Joining myself, Adriano Del Monte, today in the studio is Damon Palmer. Damon, good to have you back. Big morning of action in the Europa League. A couple of the favourites putting in some very solid performances. None more than Chelsea. A big 5-0 win this morning away to Dinamo Kiev to, well, maybe solidify themselves as the favourites in this very entertaining final eight, as I said.
Good afternoon, Adrian. Great to be back. Hope you had fun in my absence yesterday. But it was a great morning of Europa League football. Yeah, you're right. Chelsea did have the biggest win of the morning, commanding win, but over the both two legs. They have to be considered as one of the favourites. I'm still leaning towards another team of the same colour, but nonetheless, well done to Chelsea and well done to the other seven quarterfinalists.
Yes, eight remain. Arsenal and Chelsea, the two representatives from England. Two from Spain. I was going to say three, but one was eliminated very late on. We'll get to that drama in Prague shortly, but Valencia and Villarreal, the Spanish representatives, and then a sole representative each from Italy being Napoli, Portugal being Benfica, Eintracht Frankfurt, the fairy tale story from Germany, and incredibly for Eintracht Frankfurt, the only German team that remain in the quarterfinals of this or of any European competition. We brought you the news yesterday that, of course, with Munich out, that meant there was no German club in the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League for the first time since the 2005-06 campaign. So Frankfurt, the lone representative from Germany in Europe, and, well, the biggest story of the morning, no doubt, Slavia Prague of the Czech Republic. So you feel maybe they are the minnows of the final eight, but having eliminated the three-time winners of the Europa League, Sevilla, in dramatic circumstances this morning, it's a phenomenal story. And, well, they go into tonight's draw with a 12.5% chance of actually winning the thing, as does everyone else. So really excited about that. And we'll bring you our potential permutations of this draw and some matchups that we'd love to see. But let's go through the matches this morning, Dame, because there was plenty of drama across all eight fixtures. And we will start with that fairy tale story in Slavia Prague. What a result. Now, Sevilla, Slavia Prague. Sevilla, well, clear favourites coming in, but we know that Sevilla have now started to drop off. And Sevilla have had a very, very long campaign. They came into this competition in the qualifying rounds, the second or third qualifying round of the entire competition. So their season started way back in late July. It's been very long. As a result, their league form has taken a hit. Sure, they got past Lazio in the round of 32, but they came up against the Slavia Prague side that are in good form domestically, unlike Sevilla. And we're in a position here where, well, they fancied their chances of pulling off a shock. And in that first leg, a 2-2 in Sevilla, coming into this one, you had to give them a chance. But who would have thought 2-2 after 90 minutes here in the second leg? To extra time we went. And when Vasquez scored the third goal for Sevilla on the night to put Sevilla up 3-2 in extra time, it essentially meant the hosts needed to score four in order to progress. And somehow, some way, they did. Traore with the winner, a very scrappy winner, a minute from time. And quite incredibly, Slavia Prague defeats Sevilla after extra time, 4-3, 6-5 on aggregate.
Yeah, unfortunately for Sevilla, they have been eliminated. And it is getting a little evident that their season has started well before many of the other clubs in Europe. They appear to be cooked. They've appeared that way probably for at least a month now in all competitions. In La Liga, their form has dropped off dramatically. They were quite comfortably in the top four, and that position is, well, more than under threat. They have lost their place inside the top four. They've lost their touch and potentially will miss out on the Champions League next season, which is disappointing for them. Where do they go from here? Because I can't see them making the top four. They don't have anything else to play for, both domestically and in continental competitions. Pablo Marcin, their manager, maybe we may see him head towards the exit door after this defeat. His rumoured sacking has been on the cards probably for a month now. This could be the final nail in his coffin.
Huge result for Slavia Prague, of course. So they're in rare territory now. And again, look, they've knocked off one of the favourites. Yes, a stumbling favourite for the competition, but it's a famous result for this club, who will have absolutely nothing to lose now going to the quarterfinals of this competition. And no doubt that was the performance of the morning to do that. And very rarely you see that. Obviously, the away goals rule, get your thoughts on this, the away goals rule still is in play in extra time. I think that is ridiculous. I think that's a rule that should be changed. I think once you go beyond 90 minutes, it should just be neutralised. If it's a draw, well, the away goals rule to still have play that significant a part. Very rare do you see what Slavia Prague do actually take place. So incredible outcome for them to have done that. But yeah, I think I'd like to see that maybe removed in future.
I wouldn't, and the reason being...
Tell me.
Yes, you can say the away team have an advantage of having more time to score an away goal, but the home team are at home, so they have 30 extra minutes at home. 120 in total compared to 90.
Both teams have had 90 minutes each at home. I think at that point it's deadlocked. The fact that you can still score an away goal in a very tight match and then it requires the other team to score two, I think it's a little unfair, but I guess it would be a little unfair either side of the spectrum. Obviously, one team being at home, as you correctly touched on, is an advantage quite clearly. And that's why it always is a benefit to play that second leg at home. That's why you see group winners play the second leg of a respective tie at home. It makes sense. It does make sense why. But in the end, look, Slavia stand tall and Slavia Prague advance to the next stage. Another team that were required to come back this morning, not as surprising, but they were up against it. Arsenal, one of the two English sides remaining. 3-1 defeat at Rennes. And in the end, well, it was that away goal that they scored very early on in that first leg that was the difference, because they go through 4-3 on aggregate, the 3-0 win on the night. And well, it was Arsenal back to their best, but that has been their issue this season. Their home form has been exceptional. It has been exceptional. Another clean sheet, another match with multiple goals. They really are looking good at their best, but their difference between their best and their not so best, it's a bit too much at the moment for me to suggest that they will go on and actually win the Europa League. I think they've got a better shot finishing in the top four in England this season, but a stunning display against a very talented Rennes outfit who are in some good form themselves.
Yeah, the second time in a row that Arsenal have had to come back after losing the first leg away from home. They've had to come back to the Emirates and get a win, this time by multiple goals. I fear for them a little bit because they've played Bate Borisov and Rennes, and with all due respect to them, if Arsenal come up against a Chelsea or a Napoli and they go away from home first and they go down by 2 or 3 goals, I can't see them coming back from that. I think a team like Napoli and Chelsea, maybe even a Valencia, will be able to hold their own away from home at the Emirates, and that's why I fear for the Gunners a little.
It was a nice display, though, here. Aubameyang with a double. Maitland Niles with his first goal at the Emirates for Arsenal. Near-perfect display here on the night. Not too much, nothing of any significance for Rennes, unfortunately, but they bow out with their heads held high after a very nice two-legged display, but particularly that first leg where that win, the memory of that win will go down in history because it was a famous win for them, but just not enough in the end. Aubameyang pulling out the Black Panther mask for his second goal and Arsenal's third on the night just to cap off a nice night. But again, I'm with you. I think the draw will be a massive factor for Arsenal here. They have the quality to go all the way. There's no doubt about it. Aubameyang, Mesut Ozil was at another level tonight, playing some good football. Mkhitaryan came off the bench and provided some great support. Lacazette, of course, avoided that suspension. Well, had his suspension actually overturned. So Arsenal at their best going forward. We know that, of course, Socrates will return for the quarterfinals after being suspended. They have quality. They have quality everywhere. But I think they will need to avoid a couple of the biggest of them all, Napoli and Chelsea. I think if they can avoid them and get a winnable match, I think a lot of them will be for Arsenal. We could see them go deep, but I think all Arsenal fans will be dreaming of a Napoli-Chelsea quarter final. That would be a nice way for them to see one of those two sides off. As for Chelsea, we said arguably the performance of the entire round of 16, stunning over the two legs. It was tough to see how they were going to approach this one this morning. A convincing win in that first leg against Dinamo Kiev. Of course, 3-0, no away goal. One goal here on the road and the host would require five. But in the end, Chelsea put through five of their own and it was a quick fire, or an early goal through Giroud, quick fire double with his second coming just after the half hour mark. And it was 3-0 at the break when Marcos Alonso finished off Hudson-Odoi assist. Giroud with his hat-trick earlier in the second half, Hudson-Odoi with a goal of his own to make it five. That's as good as a performance as we've seen from Chelsea this season, a complete performance. Of course, not at their absolute best in this one in terms of personnel on the park. A couple of changes, no Eden Hazard. This team now playing at that level, if we can see that again in the quarterfinals, they will be very, very tough to beat because Dinamo Kiev are an established European outfit. We know that they've had some very nice results this season across all competitions and they obviously did very well to overcome Olympiakos in the previous round, picked up a draw in Greece and then knocked them off 1-0 at home. And, well, we know that Dinamo Kiev were not going to be an easy beat, but Dinamo Kiev, of course, only with their season recently restarting, you just felt that Chelsea, the form that they've been in of late, it'd be too tough a test. And that it was, but for me it was the brilliance of Chelsea and the class of Chelsea which really outshone here.
Yeah, very pleasing if you are a Chelsea fan. I think one of the most pleasing things is this was actually away from home. We know this season at Stamford Bridge, they have been very solid, but away from home is where we've seen them sort of fall. They had that 4-0 loss to Bournemouth, that 6-0 to Manchester City. But they've gone here to Dinamo Kiev, and like you mentioned, a well-established team in Europe, and they've gone and scored five, and they've done it without some key personnel. Pleasing for Olivier Giroud, who's been playing in the Europa League this season. He scored a hat-trick, a fantastic hat-trick it was. Hudson-Odoi, a fan favourite, really, despite being only 18 years of age. So well done to him, and well done to the Blues. Have to be considered one of the favourites from here.
No doubt about it. I think bookmakers have them as the favourites. Giroud, his season has been incredible. Of course, coming off the World Cup, where he was, look, he didn't score, but he was very, very important in that French World Cup win. And again, the quality is still there. Hudson-Odoi, as you mentioned, strongly linked to Bayern Munich. He gets his goal, another assist here. Just they have weapons everywhere, and the Chelsea side will be tough to beat. But again, the same question, we're going to repeat it. For as long as they're in this competition, where does the preference lie for Sarri and Chelsea here? A top four finish, a Europa League win and a Champions League. There are two avenues to the Champions League here for these clubs, but there can only be one winner. So particularly in the form of Chelsea and Arsenal, unlikely they'll both finish in the top four in England. So you have to pick and choose where you prioritise. And as the season goes on, we know that both have a couple of tough matches to go in the league season. It will be interesting to see Unai Emery and, of course, Maurizio Sarri juggle the European and domestic commitments. But a big win for Chelsea, 8-0 on aggregate, and they go through. So with Chelsea and Arsenal going through, six of the seven English clubs that were in European competition at the start of the season are still involved in the quarterfinals of their respective European competitions. A phenomenal outcome. Only one team missed out. That was Burnley.
Of course.
Lost to Olympiakos in the round before the playoff round for the Europa League, so the third qualifying round. So Burnley, the only English representative to not still be alive in European football. And with six participants still there in, what, out of 16 clubs across two competitions, they're in with a shot of winning one, if not both, of these titles. Now, one of the other favourites for the Europa League, Napoli, you did allude to, you were tipping another team in blue. I presume it was Napoli, Damon. They went down in this match. Now, they lost to Salzburg 3-1. Of course, won the first leg 3-0, which meant that they only won 4-3 on aggregate. But they did score early on. Milik with the opening goal in this match, 14 minutes in, which meant that once that away goal went in, Salzburg, similarly to as Dynamo Kiev would have required five goals. So Salzburg needed to score five. They pulled one back 10 minutes later, got one midway through the second half, and then got their third deep into stoppage time. 3-1 in the end. Close in terms of the aggregate score, but a long way off Napoli, who comfortably were the better side over the two-legged tie.
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of concern heading into this game for Napoli, just given there was no Koulibaly and no Real Albiol.
Yeah, no Maksimovic as well.
Of course. So lacking that depth and quality in the centre-back position. However, like you mentioned, Milik did score first. 14 minutes in, it was a fantastic finish in the end. It was a bicycle kick. Mm. So, like you said, they would have required five. They weren't conceding five on the road to Salzburg after that. I don't believe Napoli too strong a side to do that. And Salzburg did get their third in the 92nd minute. So, yeah, it was rather comfortable for Napoli in the end. They should get their players back for the quarterfinals. And yes, I do think they are the favourites to win this competition.
Yeah, a makeshift back for Luperto came in, the 22-year-old defender who's only appeared six times for the club this season, a couple of Europa League appearances as well. Look, this wasn't Napoli at their best, but I think it was a good hit out given the fact that Napoli, their depth probably not at the same level as Chelsea and Arsenal, I would say. I'd say their 11 and the form they're in probably at a higher level, but their depth was tested here, and it was good to see a couple of different faces involved from the get-go. But a disappointing night, a rare defeat for Napoli under Carlo Ancelotti, of course. Only the couple of defeats in 2019, Juventus in the league and now Salzburg here in the Europa League, eliminated by Milan in the Coppa Italia as well. But there haven't been too many of those this season under Ancelotti. And again, his European pedigree, all of his experience, and the fact that, keep in mind, Liverpool, without question, one of the favourites to win the Champions League. But this Napoli side beat Liverpool earlier in the campaign. And this Napoli side were eliminated by Liverpool on the final day of the group stage in the Champions League very narrowly. And had Milik had an effort on target gone the other side of the post, well, they would still be in that competition, you would imagine. So Napoli, for me, certainly a Champions League quarterfinal quality at this stage in the Europa League quarterfinal. That's why I just have them on top of Chelsea, Arsenal and the remaining pack.
Yeah, I've said before, had you put Napoli in any other group in the Champions League this season, replace them with any team in any group, I think they would have gone through to the round of 16.
Yep.
And from there, maybe a quarterfinal.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. But they'll have to make do with a quarterfinal place in the Europa League, and their fate will be learned later on tonight. It's interesting. We'll get through the other games now, but it is interesting to think about, well, from what we've seen across the Champions League this season, the former Napoli, the group stage of the Europa League, and now in the round of 32 and round of 16, look, you're going to have to beat the best. There are eight very high-quality sides remaining in this competition. You're going to have to beat the best to go all the way here. Chelsea, Arsenal, Napoli, Valencia, Villarreal, Frankfurt, who we'll get to shortly, some really, really strong sides. It's tough to predict the winner. It's all well and good for us to say that Chelsea have shown an 8-0 win here, that they're good enough, but they come up against an Arsenal side who they've struggled against at times domestically. They come up against a Napoli side who they'll know very well. It's just really, it feels like there are a few different matchups where certain teams will be better matched up against other teams and not so much against, and we saw that in the form of this morning, Slavia Prague taking care of Sevilla, who convincingly took care of Lazio in the round prior. So very tough to predict who will actually go on and win the 2018-19 Europa League. But we have popped up a tweet asking you who you think will win. We've put the three favourites, Chelsea, Arsenal and Napoli, and then other comment below, because there are five other clubs who, well, they will be confident. They know that anything is possible. And with some of the comebacks we've seen, not only in this competition, but the Champions League as well, it's certainly not over till it's over. But they're the three favourites. You'll be voting Napoli in that poll?
I will be. Very confident.
I will as well. I remain confident they will win. But again, I watched a number of these matches very closely this morning. And I tell you what, we'll have some quarterfinals on our hands, some very attractive quarterfinals. And let's go through the remaining four fixtures. We've touched on Slavia Prague, Sevilla, but the remaining four fixtures now. Valencia was one of the other early kickoffs that we haven't touched on. Chelsea, Napoli went through early. Valencia away to Krasnodar. If you didn't catch this one, go back and catch it, because Valencia, who won the first leg 2-1, trailed 1-0 5 minutes from time. This was deadlocked, 0-0, not too many chances throughout the match. Only a handful of shots on target between both sides in the first half. And even the second half, it was a real cagey affair. But Krasnodar, quite incredibly, took the lead on 85 minutes, meaning at this point, the Russian hosts were going through with that one away goal. But in the final minutes of play, Gonzalo Guedes, 93rd minute, steps up, scores the winner, 2-3 on aggregate, 1-1 on the night. So Valencia, this side that were battling relegation early on in the Spanish season, have surged up to now seventh in the league. They, for me, are a smoky, if you can be, in the final eight. What a win this is to go to Russia and go behind 5 minutes from time and find a way to dig deep and pull off a result which says you go through very narrowly. Valencia through, 3-2 on aggregate.
I think, firstly, congratulations have to go out to Krasnodar, because they had that big winter season break, mid-season break. They came up against Bayer Leverkusen in the round of 32, defeated them remarkably, and now they were just minutes or even seconds away from defeating Valencia and reaching a quarter final, which is quite incredible. So well done to them, but unfortunately just missed out thanks to that 93rd minute winner from Valencia. You could be right in saying that they are a smoky. They had such a poor start to the season, but they have revived themselves, got themselves back in contention in La Liga for the top four, and have found a way to win here, found a way to draw, but win overall in the tie to reach the quarterfinals. So I don't think any opponent in, or any other opponent in the Europa League at this stage, would want to draw this Valencia side, who are in quite good form at the moment.
I certainly agree, and it was a credit to them because the host did dominate large parts of the second half without being too menacing on goal. But in terms of possession, the Krasnodar goal was deserved. It came, and then Valencia to do what they did late. That's why we love football, because it's, again, as I said, it's never over till it's over. And that drama certainly adds some spice to what was a thrilling round of 16. So Valencia are one of two Spanish sides remaining. Villarreal did, well, again, the unthinkable, because Villarreal are still relegation threatened in Spain. 2-1, they conceded late on through Branislav Ivanovic, but 2-1, 5-2 on aggregate, too easy. Villarreal eliminate Zenit St. Petersburg, 5-2 on aggregate. It is one of the shocks of the round of 16, I feel. Villarreal, they have a bigger challenge on their hands domestically, but coming in when I previewed this game yesterday with my new co-host Nick Dabano, 5 from 5 now they are. They've got a perfect record at home against Russian sides, and we were confident they would come out and put in a good showing, and that they did. 2 goals either side of the halftime break. It was one-way traffic until that late consolation, and Villarreal cruised through to the final eight.
Yeah, maybe arguably the biggest shock of the round of 16. They went to Russia and won 3-1 convincingly, really. Such a hard place to go to. And then they've come here and finished the job at home in Spain. So quite a shock considering they are still in the battle for relegation. We don't usually see them down so far down the La Liga table. However, that's where they are, but they continue to get it done in the continental competition in the Europa League. So well done to them. A massive surprise. Maybe another smoky along with Valencia.
The drama continued. We have two more matches, and these are arguably two of the best for different reasons. We'll start in Portugal and then we'll end in Milan, but we'll go to Lisbon, where Benfica up against Dinamo Zagreb was one of the most intriguing matches. I watched this one very closely this morning. Of course, Zagreb with a first leg win, 1-0, a Petkovic penalty. They're the difference. Now, in this second leg coming in, there was history only in favour of the home side, Benfica. Dinamo Zagreb, historically quite a poor record on the road, but Benfica had never, ever been eliminated in this stage of European competition in the Europa League or UEFA Cup. Benfica had a perfect record against their opponents here at home. Their home form across all competitions has been out of this world. It just felt like that everything was geared towards a Benfica win. But the first half, Zagreb were very stern defensively, very poised, very confident, and really Benfica, despite dominating possession of the ball, had no look on goal at all. A double substitution at halftime with Grimaldo, the left back, and Jonas, the striker, coming on, a slightly more attacking Benfica side. They proved at this point why they are one of the strongest sides in Europe, no doubt about it, one of the strongest sides in this competition, but certainly why they are one of those clubs in Europe that are such a significant provider of talent to a number of other top clubs around. Joao Felix came on just after the hour mark. Now, if you haven't heard of this player, this is a player who is linked already with a mega money move to some of Europe's very, very biggest clubs, and I'm talking close to 100 million euro. Not that he's worth that at this stage, but the 19-year-old came on, and these plays just changed the game for the Portuguese side. They finally got their reward after dominating possession, dominating the play, but it came at 19 minutes from time when Jonas, one of the substitutes, volleyed home a very nice goal into the bottom corner, and 1-0 is how it finished. To extra time it went, and at that point, Dinamo Zagreb, who had defended for their lives gallantly for the 90 minutes, well, at that point, they fell apart. Down to 10, conceded 2, 3-0 is how it finished, 3-1 on aggregate. Benfica go through to the final 8, and they too, with Valencia, are ones to watch. I feel this Benfica side, that phenomenal home record, they can beat anyone, and I feel if they can get a result on the road, as they did in this one where, look, they lost 1-0, but they were still in the tie, I think they're capable of beating any of the remaining sides in this competition.
Yeah, Benfica too strong in the end. They can be at times such a force in Europe, not only in this competition, but we have seen them in the Champions League trouble some of the bigger teams in Europe. So well done to them for getting through here. Interesting you mentioned the two subs, Jonas and Grimaldo, because they both scored after coming on.
That's right.
So contributing very much to their side. Zagreb, they've had a remarkable run, probably not expected to get this far. Of course, we're leading going into this game, which is also quite incredible. Unlucky for them, but an incredible run nonetheless.
Grimaldo, look, I've seen a little bit of Benfica, but not enough. Grimaldo, from what I saw in this game, will go on to sign with a very, very big club somewhere. Stunning player, and Benfica, a stunning display. Very comfortable win. 3-0 on the night, 3-1 on aggregate. Now, the last game, we left this to last but not least, because where on earth from here for Inter Milan? Because Inter Milan took on Eintracht Frankfurt. A wonderful story, Eintracht Frankfurt, through to the quarterfinals of a European competition for the first time since the 94-95 season when they went through to the quarterfinals of the UEFA Cup. Unfortunately, they lost that tie to Juventus. But they are through to the quarterfinal stage, and they did it with a 1-0 win on aggregate against Inter Milan. Now, Inter Milan missed a penalty through Brozovic in the first leg in Germany. In the second leg this time around, an early goal to that man, Luka Jovic, again, who now in 35 games this season, 22 goals, 7 assists, a goal involvement every 76 minutes. He's one of the hottest properties in German football. Inter barely fired a shot. And in the end, they go out narrowly on aggregate, but the tie was effectively done when that Jovic goal went in the early minutes of the game.
Yeah, what can I say? Sums up Inter's 2019, really. 180 minutes, 0 goals. No Icardi in both legs, no Martinez in this game. Just their trouble with scoring has been a massive issue for them. It's resulted in them sliding down the table in the Serie A, and in the end, Frankfurt too good. Jovic, that man again, the leading scorer in Germany. So dangerous for Frankfurt. That trio, really, for Frankfurt, very dangerous. De Vrij made an error in this game, which led to the goal 5 minutes in. And like you said, from there, Inter weren't scoring too. They just struggled to create enough chances to give themselves a chance of winning matches.
More to come on Inter, because they're involved in a massive match in the Italian Serie A this weekend, which we'll get to later on in the program. But I honestly don't know where to for them after this match, because they could potentially end the season yet again without a piece of silverware. Well, that's for sure. There'll be no silverware. But they could also end the season outside the top four, meaning no Champions League, meaning another season where they really haven't progressed in any capacity. So a very, very underwhelming end to what could have been a promising final eight. Again, if they were in the draw, despite their issues, they would have fancied themselves to take on the very best, but they go out to a gallant Eintracht Frankfurt side, and, well, that fairy tale continues. All eyes on who they draw in the final eight as well.
Eliminated in the Europa League, round of 16. Eliminated in the Coppa Italia, quarter final. Sliding down the table in Serie A, potential miss out on the top four. I think they will. Spalletti, under pressure. Surely he goes after this. And if he does, I think there's one man waiting in the wings.
I agree. Jose?
It is him.
Yeah, I agree. It feels like that. Obviously, Mourinho missing out on the Real Madrid job. So it does feel that could be the only other option for him. But we'll touch on that as we look at Inter and Italian football a little later on in the show. But they go out 1-0 on aggregate here. I suppose one nice story for Inter in this one is that young Esposito, aged just 16 years, 256 days, made his Inter debut in this match. That is incredible. Don't have the stats in front of me, but that would certainly be one of the youngest players to ever feature for any club ever in this competition, no doubt about it. But that was Inter's bench this morning. There was Brozovic, who didn't feature, Ranocchia, an experienced defender, and with exception to that, there were five youth team players, Esposito, the youngest of them all. He came on for Borja Valero late on in the second half and, well, actually played the last 17 minutes of the match, so had an opportunity actually to try and impact. Didn't Inter bow out without a goal over the two-legged tie. That is that for the round of 16 in this competition. Again, confirming those quarterfinalists in the Europa League. Slavia Prague, Arsenal, Chelsea, Eintracht Frankfurt, Napoli, Benfica, Valencia and Villarreal. Eight teams remain. Who will win? We did pop up that poll at FNR_radio. Have your say. Let us know. The options are Arsenal, Chelsea, Napoli or other. Comment below at this point, Damon. Napoli with 45%. Arsenal with 27%. Other with 18% and zero comments below, and Chelsea with 9%. I know we voted for Napoli, but we'll keep you posted with how that goes. We will get to a very quick break. On the other side, we will take a look at our thoughts about the Europa League draw tonight and the Champions League draw before turning our attention to all the league action to come this weekend across Europe's top club competitions. Stay tuned. You are listening to Afternoons right here on FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Afternoons on FNR, Football Nation Radio with Adriano De Monte and Rick D'Andrea.
Welcome back to Afternoons here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Of course, proudly brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. Keep the tweets coming through at FNR_radio. Lines are open, 99944999. Get involved at any time. We recapped all of the action in the Europa League in our first segment of the day, but now it's time to turn our attention to tonight's draws. Looking forward to it, the draws for the UEFA Champions League and the UEFA Europa League quarterfinals. To recap, if you've missed the programs earlier this week, the final eight participants in the respective competitions will be drawn. And this time around, for the first time in, I'm guessing, 4 or 5 years. It used to be like this, but they reverted back. They will also provide the brackets for the winners of the quarterfinals who will play each other in the semifinals. Therefore, we'll have a clear guide as to each club's respective path to this season's final of the Champions League and Europa League. Of course, Europa League final to be played at the Olympic Stadium in Baku, Azerbaijan, and the Champions League final to be played at the Wanda Metropolitano in Madrid. We'll start with the Europa League, Damon, because that's where we were before the break. Eight teams remain. Again, we've brought you those teams. Arsenal, Chelsea, Napoli amongst the favourites. Quick update on our poll at FNR_radio. Have your say. Napoli lead the way with 48% of the vote. Other have 17%. No one's commented below, though, what those other teams are. Nevertheless, there's nothing to base this on at all, Damon. We're just speculating completely, obviously. But if you are not if you're a fan of any of these sides, if you're neutral, What is a matchup that you'd like to see in the quarterfinals? Obviously, if you're a Slavia Prague being clearly the weakest of the lot, you want to obviously try and avoid the biggest of them all. But I mean, if you're an Arsenal, if you're a Chelsea, if you're a Napoli, where do you want your draw? Who do you want to draw at this stage of the competition?
Slavia Prague are probably the weakest team out of the lot, maybe Villarreal as well. So if you're one of the big boys, being Napoli, Chelsea and Arsenal, you probably want one of those. Of course, they wouldn't take any opponent lightly at this stage of the competition. As a neutral, you'd like to see Napoli, Chelsea, Arsenal between those three teams. You'd like to see at least one matchup between them. Whether that is in the quarterfinals, maybe not. Maybe save it for the semi or the final, assuming they get there. But those ones would be quite entertaining, particularly Napoli and Chelsea with all the subplots. Ancelotti, Sarri, Jorginho and whatnot. But I think Frankfurt are another one who can definitely cause an upset against one of those teams. They've been in terrific form this season in all competitions. Look, this competition is improving year after year, it seems. And it seems that any matchup from here on is a great matchup from a neutral perspective. Napoli-Arsenal is one I'd like to see in particular. I'd love to see Arsenal go up against the Napoli side. Assuming Napoli get an early lead, maybe in the first leg at home, I'd love to see Arsenal try and come back from that because it would be a much bigger test than Rennes and Bate Borisov, which is what they've done in the past two ties.
Be very exciting, absolutely. I would love to see Slavia Prague. Again, there's no easy match, but I'd love to see Slavia Prague draw themselves a winnable tie. And maybe that's Villarreal, Valencia. I'd love just to see them avoid Arsenal, Chelsea and Napoli to give them the best chance of going through to the semis. But again, we could see one half of the draw that is packed with Napoli, Chelsea, Arsenal. We could have all three of those in one half of the draw, which could open the other side up to, well, a potential final ticket for someone else. But Frankfurt are the one to watch as well. Their incredible run continues. Benfica, again, as I said, their home form. I think they'll be hopeful of drawing the second leg at home against whoever they take on, but some potential nice matchups to come. I've just put the respective teams through a simulator here, Damon, and I'm going to give you what's come out. I've got Chelsea up against Valencia in the first tie, Napoli up against Arsenal in the next, which means if they're the first two quarterfinals drawn, that would mean that Chelsea, Napoli, Arsenal, Valencia would all be on the same side of the draw. If that were the case, are you still sticking with your tip of Napoli to emerge out of that four?
So they'd have to beat Arsenal and then Chelsea back-to-back and then win the final.
Well, or Valencia.
Of course, or Valencia. Oh, look, yeah, I'm still tipping Napoli, regardless of the draw that they get. I think they are the best team in this competition. Not by a long way, but I'm quite confident in their ability to win this competition no matter who they play against.
Exciting. The other half of the draw, obviously, the remaining four teams. Slavia Prague against Eintracht Frankfurt has come out here. And Villarreal against Benfica. That would be very interesting. Of course, Villarreal eliminated Sporting Lisbon before taking care of Zenit St. Petersburg here. So that would be, if that is the draw, I'm going to just keep hold of that and just check if that's correct come tomorrow or come later on tonight. But that would be a thrilling draw. Chelsea, Valencia, Napoli, Arsenal, Slavia, Prague, Frankfurt, Villarreal against Benfica. But again, purely speculative. Who knows what will take place. As for the Champions League draw, this will take place an hour prior to the Europa League draw. And just a couple of questions coming through on Twitter. No country safety. You can draw anyone. Doesn't matter if they were in your group from the same competition. Anyone can draw anyone, which adds more spice to what will be a very thrilling draw. Again, a reminder in case you have been living under a rock the last 48 hours, the eight remaining Champions League quarterfinals, four from England, Liverpool, Man City, Man United and Tottenham, and then Juventus, Porto, Ajax and Barcelona. Your thoughts?
Well, I think the most interesting thing here is four English teams out of the eight. So you'd think you'd get at least one all-English matchup in the quarterfinals, which would be very interesting, particularly if it was a United against Liverpool or United against City. I think they're the two to look out for the most, two of the biggest rivalries in England at least, and probably world football. So to be drawn in a Champions League tie would be quite incredible to watch. United City would never have played in the UEFA Champions League against each other. United Liverpool, maybe not either. I can't
not
recall.
That comes to mind.
So that bit of history on the cards here, potentially.
Very exciting draw. Again, look, it's possible that the English sides don't draw each other. Obviously, they could potentially draw the other four clubs that remain in Juventus, Porto, Ajax and Barca. But very likely, there will be one, if not two, all-English matchups, which would guarantee them a ticket to, guarantee an English club a ticket to a semi-final, of course.
And of course, if there are two English matchups and they are drawn in the same bracket, it's two guaranteed semi-finalists and one guaranteed finalist from England.
Also, unlikely, but could happen. Incredible. I've put the teams through, the simulator here, David.
Here we go.
Tottenham-Porto, the first quarterfinal. That would be incredible to think that Tottenham, given where they've come from, again, qualifying late through the group stage, taking care of Inter late on, and Porto, who won their group, took care of Roma. That would be a nice opportunity for both sides to go through. Juventus-Ajax was the next one that came through, which would mean that Tottenham-Porto, Juve and Ajax would be one half of the draw. If you're a Juventus fan, that would look very tasty on paper. The other half of the draw, Liverpool-Barcelona and Man United-Man City. Now, I'll tell you what, Man United-Man City is the draw that I want. I'd love to see a Manchester derby in the quarterfinal stage. And if there is to be an English matchup, that is my pick for an English matchup that I'd absolutely love to see. Yes, I'd tip City to go through, but who knows? United could spring a surprise. But clearly the pick of the round there would be Liverpool-Barcelona. Last season's losing finalists up against Barcelona, who have won this competition many times, but clearly, as I said yesterday, sick and tired of Real Madrid's continual dominance. That would be absolutely fascinating. And again, I know I've just simulated them through an online program, but I would love to see Liverpool, Barca, Man U, City would be thrilling ties for all football fans.
Yeah, it would be incredible. United, City, yes, City would be the favourites, but there is the saying, in a derby, form slightly goes out the window and things even up a little. Liverpool, Barca, massive. Like you mentioned, last year's finalists against Barca, who haven't reached past the quarterfinals in the last three seasons. So they are desperate to get to the semi. And if they were in the same bracket, we know that regardless of the matchup in the semi, it would be ridiculously tasty. It could be City against Barca, City against Liverpool, Liverpool against United. The one team that City wouldn't want to draw, I think, would be Liverpool, in fact. Just knowing what they did to them last year, completely dominated them in that first leg 3-0, and it was too much for City to handle in the second leg. They couldn't come back and lost 5-1 on aggregate. So I'd be looking out for that one as well. I think that would be the one team that City would want to avoid.
I couldn't agree any more. After last season, and obviously Liverpool going on and doing what they did, City will want to avoid them. But the form that they're in, City, they should fear absolutely no one. That they should fear no one. They are the bookmakers' favourites to go on and win this competition. They're playing exceptionally well, and still they can go on and win absolutely everything there is to win in 2019. So that draw, 10 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time, live on Optus Sport. If you're in Australia, 11 p.m. for the Europa League draw. So lots of quality still remaining in this competition. Tough to predict the winner pre-draw. Once the draw comes out, we will then have a clearer idea of who can get to the final and how. We can then recap that, of course, Monday here on the program. But an exciting week of European action does come to an end. Of course, the big talking points from the round of 16, generically speaking, in terms of some club representation and leagues, no German side in the Champions League quarterfinals for the first time in 13 years. Incredible. No French team in the quarterfinal of either competition for the first time in 8 years. So there are some fresh faces there. The revamped format of the respective competitions has increased the quality, particularly in the Europa League. Not too many weak squads left at all. Slavia Prague, clearly the weakest of the bunch remaining in the Europa League, but they've just eliminated the three-time winners of the Europa League, Sevilla. Very tough to predict a winner. Looking forward to the back end of the Champions League and Europa League seasons. But we'll leave the European discussion there, Damon, and we will now switch our focus to domestic competition because plenty of action to come this weekend. And, well, let's go to England first. A different weekend in England, some cup action and some league action as well. Plenty of action to look forward to, of course, with the FA Cup to be played this weekend, if I'm correct. Yes, I am correct, with obviously the quarterfinals of that competition now underway. Watford, Palace, Swansea City, Wolves, Man United, Millwall, Brighton. Different look, Final Eight in the FA Cup, but there have been a couple of heavyweight draws already in that competition. So before we get to the Premier League, let's talk about the FA Cup. And let's start with City, who we did say are one of, if not the favourites, to win the Champions League. Of course, off the back of that 7-0 drubbing of Schalke midweek, which could have been 9, if not 10. 10-0 win on aggregate. They come into this match against poor old Swansea, who you'd imagine stand little to absolutely no chance of maybe even scoring against this red-hot City side.
Yeah, we've seen City come up against teams from lower leagues this season, Burton Albion, and they didn't really take the foot off the pedal, did they? Scored 9 against them, I believe, if I recall correctly. So you think something similar could be on the cards here for Swansea, unfortunately for them. City just in such good form, particularly in the final third. They are scoring goals for fun at the moment. Look, it's going to be a City win, you would think, and you'd think they would do it very comfortably.
Swansea 15th in the Championship. City with 18 wins from their last 19 games. It's hard to see anything but a convincing City win. They've put 7 past Schalke midweek. They put 6 past Chelsea not so long ago. 5 past Burnley in one of the previous rounds of the FA Cup. You mentioned the 9 against Burton, 7 against Rotherham. This could be another one of those. It could be a dominant display by Guardiola's men as Swansea host City. That match in the early hours of Sunday morning local time in Australia. Their crosstown rivals Man United, who of course will be eagerly awaiting the Champions League draw tonight. They've got a trickier trip on their hands. This one away to Wolves in the FA Cup. Quarterfinal stage of the competition again. But Wolves are in some decent form. Now, they did lose to Huddersfield for the second time this season, a couple of rounds back in the league. But with exception to that defeat, that has been their only defeat in their last 11 matches across all competitions. So, and also, on top of that, we know that Wolves have recorded some very good results against the top clubs in England in the Premier League. This, for me, not a straightforward win for United in this one. And again, with a couple of big matches to come, keep in mind that United top 4 Champions League next season by no means a certainty. So do you look to rest at all here? What do you do? Obviously, we are on the verge of an international break, so probably not. But it's a very busy period ahead for United. 2-week break after this weekend's match for the international period. But a tough test here. And what is the incentive? What is the motivation here for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and his men?
It is a tough test. I think they will go out with every intention to win this game. And I don't think they will rest too many players, if any, of their biggest stars. I think they will want to win this competition. I think they have a deep enough squad to be competitive in all three that they remain in, Premier League, Champions League and the FA Cup. However, they come up against a Wolves side who we know have had a good record against the top 6 this season. They even defeated Liverpool in this competition in the third round, 2-1 at home. So we know they can spring a surprise against the heavyweights of English football, which is why this game is the pick of the round or pick of the round of this FA Cup.
Absolutely.
Wolves, I think, may spring a surprise, just given United. They did eliminate PSG, but they did lose to Arsenal following that. So that was their first loss under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in domestic football. They may be on the cards to suffer a second. I think Wolves have the capability to continue their strong record against the top 6 this season.
Should United and City get through, and again, a lot of shoulds here, but should they draw each other in the Champions League as well, we could be on for a busy period of Manchester derbies. They're already scheduled to meet, this is completely hypothetical, but they're already scheduled to meet the back end of April. If they had to draw themselves in the quarterfinals of the Champions League and the semifinals of the FA Cup, there could be 4 Manchester derbies in the space of about 3 weeks in April.
Incredible. We've seen it in Spain a number of times with El Clásico, Real Madrid and Barcelona. It would be great to see it with United and City, one of the best derbies in the world, I believe.
It'd be very exciting to see, but United need to get past Wolves first. They will meet Wolves after the break in the Premier League as well, so a couple of trips to the Molineux to take on Wolves to come. But yeah, this is tough. This will be a tough match. I'm going to tip that they will go through, but I think it will be hard fought, and yeah, not sure. Oh, look, maybe we'll go to a replay. Who knows? But it will be a very tough test. I don't think for City they'll have any issues whatsoever. Looking forward to how they get on, but also looking forward to the other two ties, because it does provide a couple of the lesser clubs with an opportunity to make a semi-final of a cup competition, which would be very impressive, and particularly for Watford, whose good domestic form I'm expecting to continue this weekend. They host Crystal Palace. You just expect from what you've seen from Watford this season, they've done the double over Palace in the league, 2-2-1 victories. You just expect them to come out and be far too strong for a Crystal Palace side who are in some decent form of their own. But I just feel that Watford, the form that they've had in 2019, a couple of defeats recently to City and Liverpool, but I think that Watford are clearly one of the best of the rest outside the top six in England.
Yeah, arguably in the FA Cup remaining teams, probably the third best team, maybe Wolves after City and United. I think they will be too strong here as well. I think they have far too much quality for Palace to handle, and they are at home. So heavy favourites, I think, in this match, and I think they will progress to the semis.
And the final one is Millwall up against Brighton. This one at Millwall, so Brighton obviously the favourites to go through, but we know that Millwall have had some very good performances in this competition to get to this point. They did take care of Everton earlier on in the competition, a couple of rounds, round before last actually. But could the fairy tale continue? Of course, the two sides haven't met since Brighton's championship days back in 2015. Millwall, that last meeting finishing 0-0 between, not that it has anything to do with this match, but Millwall ending a four-match losing streak last weekend with a 2-0 over Birmingham. Enough to see them pass Brighton. Brighton, of course, with a nice win in the league against their rival Crystal Palace. Two straight wins in the Premier League. Given the fact that they are a solid mid-table side in England, you would expect they'll get past Millwall here. But again, Millwall at home, FA Cup, anything can happen. I'm hopeful that Millwall can actually win and maybe take on one of the Manchester sides in the semis.
That would be an incredible watch. Brighton not yet safe from relegation, just 5 points above the drop zone. So maybe not quite as solid a mid-table team as you're alluding to. So if they do progress to the semi-finals, maybe too much for them to handle on their plate. But in terms of quality and difference between the two sides, you would think Brighton would get through against Millwall. However, this competition does like to throw up a surprise or two. Millwall, like you mentioned, did defeat Everton two rounds ago. But I'm going to lean towards Brighton in this one.
Five matches in the Premier League to round out the English discussion. Bournemouth up against Newcastle. Some reports emerging from Newcastle overnight suggest that they may look to replace Rafa Benitez with Bruno Genesio, the Lyon boss. That will be something to deal with come season's end. But Newcastle also in that semi-relegation scrap. I actually think the Palace are safe. I think Newcastle is safe as well. But if Palace are in danger, 5 points clear of safety. Newcastle only 6 points clear of safety. This match, huge, because Bournemouth are 3 points ahead of them, one spot ahead of them. They win this, they edge closer to that 40-point safety net, and you would feel they'd be safe. But a bit of a danger game here. Newcastle going to Bournemouth, who picked up their first win in some time away to Huddersfield last weekend. So a big test here for Benitez and Newcastle off the back of that 3-2 against Everton last time out.
We know Newcastle are good at home, 6 wins in a row at St. James's Park, but it's their away form that has resulted in them not being where they want to be in the Premier League table this season. So you're right. I think it is a danger game. Bournemouth have been quite impressive this season and probably the favourites heading into this game. So a little bit of a danger for the Black and Whites.
A Burnley host Leicester. Burnley, three straight losses after that really good stretch of form that they had. They're now just 2 points clear of Cardiff, who occupy the third and final relegation spot. Leicester here, Leicester now are certainly mid-table. They are still in the running for European football, but unlikely, but we'll be hopeful of a win here away to Burnley.
Yeah, absolutely. Another game for Brendan Rodgers. It's going to be interesting to see how he performs in this match from the touchline. Another test. Burnley, their form has been up and down. They did have that fantastic unbeaten stretch, but since then, things have gone a little south. But Leicester, I think, will have a lot to prove under the new manager, and I think they could get a win here.
West Ham take on Huddersfield. That will be a straightforward win for West Ham, I'd imagine. And they, too, will be hopeful that they can close the gap on both Wolves and Watford, who won't play this round due to, obviously, other commitments. But West Ham are in action and they will win against Huddersfield, the rock-bottom side who will be playing in the Championship next season. The final two games, Fulham, Liverpool, Everton, Chelsea. So Liverpool here with a wonderful opportunity before the break. Obviously, keep in mind that City will not play another league game before the break. That means that Liverpool can go into the break top of England again. Yes, they'll have that extra game having played. City will have a game in hand. But a win at Craven Cottage against Fulham will just ensure they have that mental edge over City for a fortnight.
Perceived pressure, isn't it? That's We've seen it a number of times this season where City and Liverpool have jumped each other, but despite having an extra game, having played an extra game, but it is that perceived pressure. But I think this game will be a case of how many.
I agree, absolutely. That one at Craven Cottage. And the last one, Everton-Chelsea. Look, big game. Chelsea, of course, off the back of a big week in European football. This is Chelsea's game in hand, though, right now, because the teams above them, United and Arsenal, don't play. So this is their game in hand. Win, and, well, on goal difference, they can't take over Arsenal in fourth, but they can certainly go level with Arsenal in fourth, and they'll obviously go ahead of United by a couple of points. But they are away to Everton. We know Everton are certainly no easy beats despite that 3-2 loss at Newcastle last weekend. And, well, Chelsea, particularly on the road against Everton, haven't always had the greatest of success. A lot of Everton wins at Goodison Park against the Blues over the years. But I think this will be a tough one. But if they're half-serious Chelsea off the back of a great week against Dynamo Kiev, they just need to stand tall, win, and get themselves back technically into the top four.
Yeah, massive game for Chelsea here. They have to win. If they don't, the likelihood of them finishing in the top four slowly, well, lessens.
Absolutely.
So it's a massive test here for Sarri and his men. Everton, like you mentioned, no easy beats. It's going to be tough on the road.
Really not much to play for Everton now, though. Mid-table, 7 points away from European football, clear of safety from relegation. A long second half of the season ahead, but a big test up against Chelsea, and I'm sure they'll be up for it, but I am tipping Chelsea to get the points. That's English discussion done. Stay tuned. Serie A, La Liga, Ligue 1, Bundesliga, and a whole host of news stories still to come. This is Afternoons on FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Afternoons on FNR, Football Nation Radio with Adriano De Monte and Rick D'Andrea.
Welcome back to Afternoons here on FNR Football Nation Radio. We do hope you're enjoying the program. Plenty more still to come. Of course, La Liga, Serie A, Ligue 1, Bundesliga, and plenty of transfer news doing the rounds. Kylian Mbappe, he's been involved in some transfer talk overnight. Before we move on, Damon, you refreshed my memory during the break, which we didn't touch on in the Champions League draw section. The story about the Champions League draw that was actually leaked. Are you across this?
I am.
You are. A report saying the Champions League, a Champions League director posted an image on social media by accident before deleting it seconds later. In this day and age, Damon, how on earth do you accidentally post an image to social media? That means you would have had to have loaded the image to social media and prepared the tweet to be sent out and then pressed post. It's quite extraordinary, but nevertheless, the draw that was accidentally posted, Tottenham United, Liverpool Ajax, Juventus Porto, Barcelona Manchester City, meaning that Juve Porto Barca City would be one half of the draw and the other four teams would be the other half of the draw. Extraordinary. But again, my question in this day and age, how on earth do you accidentally tweet something?
You can't. I can't think of a way you can accidentally tweet something, just given the steps you just listed that are involved of sending out a tweet, which would lead me to believe that maybe this draw isn't quite accurate yet.
Okay, well, if it does come out that way, we'll know that those reports were fact.
I'm looking forward to it.
Looking forward. But again, why would you even have a graphic prepared for that? That's what I don't understand. But anyway, nevertheless, we move on. The last story, I promise, the last one out of Champions League talk, the Ronaldo gesture that was directed towards the Atletico Madrid fans that was mimicking the gesture of Diego Simeone in the first leg for Atletico. There is some talk that it may lead to him being in some hot water in the first leg of the quarterfinal, maybe suspended, because it was actually directed towards the fans of Atletico Madrid. So unlike Simeone, who got a €20,000 fine, this may result in something more.
I have heard this. Unlikely for me that he will be suspended. You can't imagine that they will suspend Ronaldo for a quarterfinal of a Champions League. Can you prove, also, that they will have to prove that he did do it towards the Atleti fans. Mm. Can you prove that 100% sure? I'm not convinced.
No, I'm with you. Oh, look, can you prove it? Well, if I would love to hear his argument against it, but no, regardless, I think if you look at the footage, sure, it's there, but based on what they did with Simeone, I don't think. Who was Simeone doing it, directing it towards? So I think certainly he'll get off and he will be fined, I'm sure, but €20,000, that's a slap on the wrist these days, Damon. So I think he'll be fine to play in the first leg of the quarterfinals. All right, let's get back to league action. Let's talk Spanish football now. La Liga in full swing this weekend. A big week with a match that I've been looking forward to for some time, with the league leaders Barcelona facing a tricky trip to Real Betis. That's the final match of the round, the final match before the international break. It's a packed weekend of action, but Barcelona's trip to Betis is the one I'm looking forward to for, well, if you're across Spanish football, for the obvious reason of their previous meeting earlier this season, which Betis won 4-3 at the Nou Camp. Now, that was a rare win for Betis against Barcelona. In fact, their first win in the league against Barcelona since 2008. Not much success in any competition since then, but you just imagine that Barcelona, who don't have too much to play for in the league with that 7-point lead atop of the table, you just feel that off the back of a stunning performance against Lyon midweek and with that lingering in the back of their minds, we could see Barca at their absolute best this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not so sure they don't have too much to play for. 7 points at the moment, but if they do suffer defeat, say in this match, and Atleti win, it's just down to 4 points with plenty of games remaining for Atleti to catch them, albeit unlikely. But you're right, the previous meeting, Real Betis went to the Camp Nou and put 4 past them. How often do we see that? Not very often at all in this century. So an interesting matchup. I can't see Betis doing the double. I think that is very unlikely. And Barca, like you mentioned, coming off that massive win against Lyon, we are starting to see them hit their best. Like we're starting to see a lot of the big teams in Europe, probably City and Juventus, the other two in the mix.
They haven't lost since then. So, look, I'd anticipate this will be a pretty, I think it'll be a convincing Barca win. And you are right. Look, Atleti are coming. But again, Atleti home, different to Atleti away. And, well, this weekend, Atletico Madrid find themselves on the road. And they find themselves on the road in a somewhat a tricky match against a very stubborn Bilbao side who have got themselves away from and well clear of the bottom few, of course, lingering in relegation trouble for so long this season, but all of a sudden they will welcome Atleti in a match where if they can win, they'll actually genuinely get themselves back in European contention. So a lot of pressure on Antoine Griezmann and Atletico Madrid here. How do they respond from, a very disappointing midweek exit at the hands of Cristiano Ronaldo and Juventus? I don't think this is a straightforward result for Atleti. I actually think the Bilbao can take a point, if not all three, from this and effectively end Atletico's title hopes. They have won 4 straight games in the league and 4 straight games without conceding a goal in that time. But I think the Bilbao, at home here, in some good form, I think that they, with European football, the potential chance of European football on the line here, I think that Bilbao may be able to spring a surprise.
Massive game for Atleti. They need to respond after what was their worst performance of the season away to Juventus. Will that affect them? Will their confidence be down too much? We know their form away from home has been very poor this season in all competitions. And Bilbao have made a resurgence in the second half of the season, and in 2019 their form has been quite good. So I'm with you. I think Bilbao can spring a surprise, maybe even get all three. Just knowing Atleti away from home is such a different side to when they play at the Wanda Metropolitano.
7 points away from Barcelona at the top of the table. Only 5 road wins this season in the league. It doesn't feel like a team. They don't sound like numbers of a team who are that high in the table, but that they are because their home form has been impeccable with 11 wins from their 14 matches. But Atleti away from home here, I think Bilbao can certainly get a result. Barcelona Atleti with a couple of interesting matches, interesting trips this weekend, but all eyes will certainly be on third place Real Madrid. Of course, it is the second coming of Zinedine Zidane. He returns to the Santiago Bernabeu to take on Celta Vigo. Damon, this match will end in one way and one way only, and I believe a convincing Real Madrid win. Of course, there will be a lot of pressure on Zinedine Zidane here, despite there being nothing, and I repeat, nothing to play for in the remaining matches of the season. A few players will be playing for their futures, we know that, but under Zinedine Zidane, it is just about finding what he wants to keep hold of and finding, well, starting to plan for the future 3 months earlier than I would have anticipated. I felt they would have made this change at season's end. There's nothing to play for. They can't win anything. They're 12 points off Barcelona. They're 10 points clear of fifth place Alaves for Champions League football. So they'll be in the Champions League next season. They're not in the Copa del Rey. But I tell you what, Zinedine Zidane up against Celta Vigo, one of the worst performing sides in 2019 in Spain. This will be a big win for Los Blancos. And despite the absences, of course, of Vinicius Junior, Carvajal, Lucas, Gareth Bale still in doubt, I think that the 11 that take to the park will be inspired and motivated to put on a show for the Bernabeu faithful.
Nothing to play for as a team, but I think from an individual perspective, I think each player will want to go out there and put in a performance that says, I want to remain at Real Madrid under Zinedine Zidane from the 2019-20 season and beyond. So I think an important game nonetheless for Real Madrid, and you're right, Celta Vigo have been abysmal this season, and I can't see anything else other than a convincing win for Los Blancos.
That'll be one to watch, another one not to miss. It's 4th v 7th. Now, this is the match of the round, no doubt about it. I think I've already said that three times, but this one will be a great watch. Valencia-Getafe, Champions League football here on the line. 4th place Getafe, if they can go to the Mestalla and win. Of course, keeping in mind that Valencia will come back from a trip to Russia, this will change. Well, this will change the season of Spanish football, and Getafe could very well be going to the Champions League next season. Cannot wait for this one. Plenty to play for. Valencia's resurgence, will it continue, or will this fairy tale run of Getafe, well, effectively end Valencia's hopes of playing Champions League football? 3 straight wins in the league. They're unbeaten in some time. They will have the advantage of having rest midweek as opposed to Valencia again, who have come back from Russia. But 4 wins in their last 5, 1 draw in that time, a 2-2 with Eibar. I really like what I'm seeing from Getafe. Do they have enough? Do they have what it takes to go to Valencia, a team that are unbeaten at the Mestalla for, well, 5 months now, no defeat since early November. So it's for 4 months there, in that case, a 1-0 loss to Girona. But Getafe with a massive opportunity here to secure a result that could see them secure a place in the UEFA Champions League, quite incredibly.
Yeah, huge, huge opportunity. You mentioned Valencia coming back from Russia. I think that can play a part. We know how hard it is to go there and also to come back and perform in the following few days after playing in Russia. So Getafe, massive opportunity. They win this, they are clear favourites to finish in the top 4 and remarkably make the Champions League. Even if they get a point on the road, I think they would be happy with that. But if they suffer defeat, then Valencia close the gap. Sevilla and Alaves still in the mix. So I think Getafe will go there with every intention of getting 3 or at least the 1.
Alaves are away to Huesca this weekend, bottom place team, so Alaves will be hopeful of getting the points, and hopefully Getafe can drop points as well to keep the pressure on. They are still in the running for the top 4, quite incredibly, as are Sevilla. They're away to Espanyol. Sevilla, of course, eliminated in Prague in the Europa League. How do they respond? We will see, but their stuttering league form was momentarily halted last weekend with a 5-2 win over Sociedad. A bit of a test here against Espanyol, who have had the strangest season, I think, in Europe. They were top 2 for large parts of the early stage of the campaign, then couldn't win to save themselves. I think they lost 10 out of 11 games, and now they've just stabilised in a solid mid-table side back in the European hunt. So Espanyol-Sevilla, that's another one I don't think actually Sevilla will win. So I think Sevilla will go on to drop more points, with Espanyol unbeaten in 7 across all competitions. But a bit of a test there. The remaining matches in Spain this weekend: Sociedad host Levante. That's the opening match tomorrow morning, local time here in Australia. Leganes up against Girona. Eibar, Valladolid, and the final match, Villarreal, Rayo Vallecano. That is huge. 17th v 19th. Villarreal obviously involved against Zenit midweek in the Europa League. They host Vallecano here. If Vallecano win, they have lost many, many in a row. But if Vallecano win, Villarreal are back in the drop zone. So despite all their heroics of late, 6 straight defeats for Vallecano. If they can go there and end that spell, Villarreal will be back in the bottom three, meaning it's still all to play for in the Spanish top flight this weekend. But all eyes on Zinedine Zidane's return. All eyes on Valencia, Getafe and Can Barça continue to extend that lead atop of the table. All the action in Australia live on beIN Sports. But of course, Monday here on the program, we'll have you covered with a full recap of the weekend that was in Spanish football. Over to the Italian Serie A now. Some big games this weekend, and arguably the biggest game of the weekend across any competition coming in the final match before the international break in Serie A. It's Milan up against Inter, Damon, the Derby della Madonnina. What a match this will be. I'd go as far as saying probably the most important Milan derby I can recall for many, many years now. And Inter's elimination at the hands of Frankfurt this morning, just adding more fuel to that fire there. Milan have recently leapfrogged Inter into third. Many saying Milan can even finish as high as second. But Inter really now sucked back into this battle for the top four, with the likes of Roma, Torino, Atalanta and Lazio breathing down their necks. Both teams desperately need a win here. Milan, in the best form in the Italian top flight, have been as strong defensively as any side in Italy in 2019. But for Inter, it just feels like it's going in the other direction. Anything can happen in a Milan derby. A big match this weekend. Who wins?
It is a massive game for the two sides for two very different reasons, I think. You have the side in red and black who have come from almost nowhere to jump into third. And you've had Inter in the blue and black, who we thought would finish in the top three. That seems unlikely at this point. So very different 2019s for the two Milan clubs. Based on form, you'd say Milan win quite comfortably. But like we know in derbies, form doesn't always matter too much. It will be interesting to see if Icardi plays in this one. Unlikely. There are reports that he won't feature for Inter again in the season.
Maybe ever.
Maybe ever. Probably ever. So Milan on form, you'd think, would get the win. Piontek, man on fire, he is playing at a level almost probably up there as one of the best strikers in Europe at the moment. Milan would want to bounce back from their derby defeat earlier in the season in the reverse fixture where they were very poor. Slightly different look Milan side. Obviously, Higuain played in that game. Now they have Piontek, now they have Paqueta. I think Milan will get the win in this derby.
No Milan win in a derby since early 2016. So this is big. This is very big. That was a 3-0 win back in February of 2016 when Alex Bakker and Young got the goals there. So very different look Milan side from earlier this season, let alone back then. But they'll be very hungry here, and they know that if they can win this game, Milan, well, if they can, that is top four football all but secured, because a win here for the Rossoneri will take them 4 points clear of their rivals and unbeaten in so long. Again, their only defeat in 2019 coming in Saudi Arabia, 1-0 to Juve in the Super Cup. No defeat in the league since a 1-0 at home to Fiorentina in late December. I can't see anything but a Milan result here. The form as such have been too good. Inter, heartbreak going out to Eintracht Frankfurt. The goal-scoring options aren't there. Of course, Lautaro Martinez will return for this match. Icardi will not feature. They're very thin. They've got issues. But I think Milan just a lot more stable at the moment, playing a better brand of football. And with five straight league wins and some of the best form in even European football at the moment, they've just got themselves to the position they need to be under Gattuso. And it's funny how quickly things have they've turned around, because keep in mind, not so long ago, Spalletti and Inter were flying. Gattuso was on the way out. And all of a sudden, you said it earlier on in the program, but failure to make the top four for Inter this season, elimination again from European football, maybe no Champions League football next season. Spalletti surely will not be the coach in the 2019-20 campaign. And with Jose Mourinho still lingering around, we could see another change in the top job at Inter. Not the case for Milan, though, and it's funny how those contrasting scenarios have unfolded in 2019 for Gattuso and Spalletti.
I said just over a month ago when Milan played Atalanta, that was their first or their biggest game in a long time, just given the positions on the table and where Milan have come from this season. I think this game tops that, and I think if Milan get the win in this derby, they are going to the Champions League for the first time in 5 years.
It would be incredible. They would certainly be a pot four team, as Inter were, if they were to return to the Champions League after that long absence. But I think a number of football fans would love to see the Rossoneri return to a competition they've won on 7 occasions. Milan-Inter, the final match of the weekend in Italy, 6:30 a.m. Monday morning. That's Australian Eastern Time, live on beIN Sports. Your score prediction for this match?
3-0 Milan.
Wow, so predicting a big, big win. I think it'll be a routine. I think 2-0 to Milan, and yeah, I think that man Piontek is a good bet to score once again as Milan look to solidify themselves as a top four finisher this season. Of course, that will take them to the Champions League. 11 rounds remain. So it's still, look, they still have some work to do, but certainly have come a long way this calendar year. As for the two teams ahead of them, Juventus are away to Genoa, Napoli at home to Udinese. Again, both these two teams, 1-2 in Italy, and the only two teams remaining in European football. Much to play for here. Juve away to Genoa, their last match before the break. I think if this wasn't the last match before the international break, we'd see Allegri treat this match with caution. I don't think that there'd be a near full-strength side. I think he'd change things around. But I think the fact that they do have a fortnight off, sure, his players will be away on international duty. But I think this Juventus side will be slightly rotated, but still strong enough to go there and clinically get the 3 points.
Yeah, they should put in a performance where they will get the 3 points. The interesting thing in this game is Genoa are one of very few teams who have taken points off Juventus this season.
That's right.
And that was at Allianz Stadium in Turin. I don't think that will be the case here. Genoa have been very poor since then, and I think Juventus should get the win quite comfortably.
Yeah, of course. They do have a couple of injury concerns, Juve, though. We know that. It was a different look. There were a couple of different look players, particularly on the bench at the midweek in the Champions League, but a couple of those key players still out: Di Sciglio, Khedira, Cuadrado, Douglas Costa. So some first-team players are still missing, but you would imagine that Juventus can get the points away to Genoa. They've had great success over Genoa, as they have most teams. But yes, Genoa did take a point. Actually, they ended their winning streak. They were the first team to take a point off Juve this season. 1-1 at the Allianz Stadium, as it goes by these days. As for Napoli, at home to Udinese, they've dominated Udinese head-to-head in recent seasons. But their league form has been average. And in fact, after their defeat to Salzburg this morning, just one win in their last four in all competitions. So again, there isn't much to play for in the league. We know that. When they've been called upon to perform well, they've performed very well. But with six straight wins against Udinese in recent seasons, I'm just anticipating a pretty straightforward win here at the San Paolo.
You would think so. Udinese disappointing for the second year in a row. Napoli, if they want to finish second, I think they'll have to keep winning, because Milan are just in such form that they do have the potential to catch them on the table, but Napoli should be straightforward here. Milik, he's in such good form at the moment. Probably expect him to get on the score sheet here in this one as well.
You mentioned that Genoa were a team, one of three teams to take some points off, of course, Juventus earlier in the season. Another one of those meetings in another match for a top four aspirant in Roma. Now, Roma take on Spal. They go away from home. Spal, of course, went to the Olimpico in arguably the darkest period for Roma under Di Francesco this season. This was in late October, and took a 2-0 win at the Olimpico. Now, that was a low point, without question. Spal was a historic win for Spal, but a low point for the Giallorossi. Ranieri's second match in charge, another very winnable game, an important game, because after the break, Roma have some decisive fixtures against other top four aspirants as well. But this, an absolute must win. And I'm sure that 2-0 loss in the reverse fixture earlier in the season will still be lingering in the minds of some of these Roma players.
You would think it's a straightforward win for Roma. Spal have been very poor this season following that surprise win at the Olimpico. But under Ranieri, I think they will have a little bit to prove. Ranieri came out and said that he has 11 games or 12 games, whatever it was, to make a mark, and basically said to finish in the top four. So you'd think they'd get the win here quite comfortably. Disappointingly bowed out in the UEFA Champions League, but I think the domestic form will begin to pick up after that.
They'll obviously be licking their lips that Inter are on the way down, and we'll be hopeful that Inter can lose to Milan this weekend, because if they do, Roma will go ahead of Inter and into fourth with a win. Keep in mind that since that 2-0 win for Spal at the Olimpico in Rome, Spal have won one of their last 19 games, and that came in a 3-2 win at the Ennio Tardini against Parma when they trailed 2-0 early on in the second half, and scored three goals in the final 20 minutes to win 3-2. So one emphatic come-from-behind win, but with exception to that, Roma simply must defeat Spal this weekend given their poor recent form. Now, the other matches this weekend in Italy, Cagliari-Fiorentina to open proceedings. That one tomorrow morning, 6:30 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Sassuolo up against Sampdoria will be a good watch. Torino-Bologna, can Torino's incredible form continue? I'm going to pencil it in. Yes, it will. Atalanta-Chievo should be a good game as well. Atalanta still in the Champions League running as well. Empoli-Frosinone, this one very important. 17th v 19th. Both sides have struggled for wins this season. Just 8 between them in their 54 combined fixtures. Big match if they'd like to survive the drop. Lazio-Parma will be very important as well as we wrap up this Serie A talk. Lazio have just dropped off ever so slightly, knocked out from the Europa League, of course, by Sevilla in the round of 32. One win in their last three league games, that one in a 3-0 against Roma. And as a result, now they're 8 points behind fourth place Inter. So a must-win match for Lazio against Parma, but a Parma side who did pick up a first win in some time last weekend against Genoa, so won't be straightforward, but certainly a big weekend of action to come in Italy, the Milan derby. Without a shadow of a doubt, the biggest match in European football this weekend, and we are both predicting a comfortable Milan win, which again could see them all but confirm a place in the top four for next season's UEFA Champions League, a return to that competition that they've made their own historically. And it'd be very exciting for fans of Milan to get themselves back amongst the very best. Off to our final break of the day. Still about 20, 25 minutes to go as we return very shortly. But we've got Ligue 1, Bundesliga, and a whole host of transfer news as we near the end to another edition of Afternoons right here on FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Afternoons on FNR. Football Nation Radio with Adriano De Monte and Rick D'Andrea.
Welcome back for the final time today to Afternoons here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Of course, we have Ligue 1 and Bundesliga to come and some transfer talk to round out the program. Before we do, though, Damon, a quick update on our poll. Who wins the UEFA Europa League, of course, off the back of this morning's round of 16 completion. Arsenal, Chelsea, Napoli and other are our options. Napoli lead the way with 50% of the vote. Arsenal and Chelsea, second and third, and other 10%. But again, we've said it many times, but Napoli just feel that with nothing else to play for, no top four berth to try and contend with, they're going to finish second, maybe third, but they'll certainly be in the top four. They're looking very good and the fans' favourite to go on and win this thing.
Yep, not surprised, to be honest. I think they are the best team in the competition and the most well-coached. Ancelotti, probably the best coach in the competition of the teams remaining.
Let's go now to the other two leagues to wrap up the program. And if you missed earlier on in the show when we were talking European football, just a reminder, no French side in the quarterfinals of European competition for the first time since 2011. Incredible. And of course, none more disappointed than Paris Saint-Germain, who are in action in the French Ligue 1 this weekend. The final match of Ligue 1 before the international break. And it's the match of the round, PSG up against Marseille. Marseille are in red-hot form, second best run of form after PSG in the competition. So I'm expecting this one to be an entertaining watch. No Cavani still, no Draxler, no Neymar. So those key absences continue. Are reports, though, coming out of France that have suggested that Neymar has made an excellent recovery. Do you rush him back, though? Probably not. They'll have a French Cup final at some point if they get there. But PSG here, they bounce back from their humiliating exit to Man United midweek against Dijon, winning 4-0. But a big test here against the Marseille side who, well, let's be honest, Marseille have had no success whatsoever against PSG. No win in any competition against PSG since 2011. Can they break that hoodoo here?
Well, when you talk about teams who have nothing to play for, PSG are probably the epitome of that. They've already wrapped up the league, probably will win the Coupe de France as well. And they come up against Marseille, who are the most informed team in France, and they have everything to play for. Champions League spot on the line. They made a remarkable comeback after Rudy Garcia was almost sacked just over a month ago, and they have put themselves right back in contention. It's going to be tough, though, nonetheless, because we know how strong PSG are domestically, and they are at home, and they rarely do lose at home. Of course, they did lose that match just over a week ago against United, which was a shock to us all. I can't see Marseille getting a win here, but I can see them getting a draw, just given the fantastic form that they are in.
18 matches between PSG and Marseille, 0 wins for Marseille. No win at the Parc des Princes since 2010. And you're right, PSG rarely lose at home, but this is their first match at home since that humiliating exit. So, look, it does look like the PSG, based on recent form and stats, that they should win this game, but who knows? Marseille in great touch and with a lot to play for. I would not be surprised if they push PSG all the way here, but I'll predict that both teams will get on the score sheet. I think PSG will just narrowly win this match. Again, PSG still with a game in hand, but leads 17 points ahead of Lille in second. Lille are in action in a very intriguing match this weekend. They take on Monaco, the fast-improving Monaco. Both teams with Lille with 3 wins and 2 draws from their last 5. Monaco also unbeaten in their last 5. But Monaco, look, 6 points clear of the relegation zone. In good enough form. I think the teams below them are in woeful form. But Monaco's certainly building. But have they built enough to compete with the red-hot Lille? And we know how good Lille have been, particularly at home this season. 9 wins, 4 draws, just 1 loss in front of their own fans.
I'm convinced they're safe. I think they've done enough to get the safety. Have they done enough to mix it with the best of the best in France? Probably not yet. I think Lille have been fantastic this season, led by Pepe up front, who has been incredible. I don't think Monaco can get a result here. I think Lille will continue their strong form of 2019. I don't think it'll be too damaging for Monaco, though. Like I said, I think they will reach safety in Ligue 1 this season.
Lyon-Montpellier will be a great game. Obviously, Lyon currently in third and occupy that third and final Champions League spot alongside Lille and Paris Saint-Germain. But they take on Montpellier, who too are still in the running for that. Lyon obviously going to Barcelona midweek, being eliminated in the round of 16, 5-1 on the night and 5-1 on aggregate. But at home, their form has been as such. They did hold Barca to a 0-0, unbeaten in their last 6. And their most recent match name was a 5-1 for themselves against Toulouse. They take on Montpellier here, who have only had the 1 win away to Lyon since 2009. So Lyon with some good form, good stats backing them up heading in. Tough test, but I think that Lyon can respond well. They were pretty poor at the Nou Camp, but gallant in defeat, 0-0 in that first leg. They've shown signs, and with Marseille coming, this is a must-win for a Lyon side that will be desperate to hold on to third place and return to the UEFA Champions League next season.
Yeah, unfortunately, Montpellier, after a strong start to the season, their form hasn't been great of late, and I think Lyon are by far the superior team. Coming up against them at home, I think Lyon will be far too strong in this one. They do have everything to play for, like Marseille, battling it out for that third spot in Ligue 1.
Other matches at the weekend include Reims up against Nantes. Reims currently in 5th. They just keep getting points, still unbeaten for the large part of 2019. In fact, no, they were eliminated in a cup competition, but that was after a 3-3 draw. They haven't suffered a defeat since early December when they lost to Toulouse at home 1-0. They take on Nantes, who are unbeaten in their last 3 without conceding a goal as well. In fact, they've only conceded 1 in their last 5, but this will be a big test for Nantes on the road. Reims, incredibly, still in the Champions League race as well. So imagine that from Ligue 2 to UEFA Champions League. They're 7 points adrift of Lyon. So that's a big opportunity for them this weekend. Saint-Étienne, they're away to Caen. Saint-Étienne with just 1 win in their last 4. They've been pretty disappointing of late, but have lost to three of the top 4 sides. Big opportunity for them to respond here and win on the road against Caen, who appeared destined for relegation this season. How will Rennes respond after elimination at Arsenal? They're away to Bordeaux. They too still in the mix for Europa League, a return to that competition. Nice-Toulouse, it's 9th v 15th there. Toulouse now clear of relegation. So again, a trip to Nice with not much to play for. And Nîmes, Strasbourg, Angers up against Amiens, the final matches to close out the round. before Gangomp and Dijon. So that's that for the weekend. Gangomp 20th, Dijon 18th. Gangomp can win and get out of the bottom two for the first time in a very long time. If they do that, they will be into the relegation playoff spot. And I'll tell you what, I think they have a good chance of doing so. Their recent home form has been fairly solid. Defeats to Lille and Lyon across cup and league. But with exception to that, some wins, some clean sheets, and they take on a Dijon side who have not scored in their last four Ligue 1 games away from home. Big opportunity here for Gangomp, and I think that they maybe can spring a surprise. But that is the final round of course, Ligue 1 action before the international break. How will they get on? We will see. But all the focus certainly on the race for the top three and Champions League football for next season. German Bundesliga Damen, as we near the end to the program. Bayern Munich, we know they are high-flying in this competition, but they were brought back down to earth by Liverpool. A 3-1 win for Liverpool at the Allianz in Munich midweek. Munich are in action at that same stadium days after against Mainz. Mainz team that they have dominated in recent seasons. Some big wins against this Mainz side. Mainz haven't had one win at the Allianz in 2016, but no other luck in recent times. I'm expecting that Bayern Munich will respond in the fashion of Bayern Munich normally responding. That's a big win. They very rarely lose, particularly at home. But I'm not so sure this time around. Nikol Kovac and Bayern Munich in that match against Liverpool, it was alarming how much quality they lacked in that match. It was alarming. We know they had a couple of key players suspended, but it was a different look Munich side. And with now, again, a domestic double to play for, but it felt like the nucleus was sucked out of this Munich side midweek. Do they respond in the emphatic style that I am foreseeing against the Mainz side, who have lost three straight on the road in this competition?
Yeah, I think they will. The performance against Liverpool was rather lifeless. They just had nothing really going forward. But they're going to come up against a team who, with all due respect, are of weaker calibre than Liverpool. So I think they will respond in emphatic fashion. I think it could be a matter of how many. I think they will be angry, they will be determined, and they will come out firing and get a comfortable win.
Of course, a 6-0 win in their last match in the Bundesliga, taking care of Wolfsburg. Not as tough a test for them this time around, but they should win. But again, who knows off the back of disappointing exits like that. While they should win, what will Dortmund do? Because Dortmund did pick up a 3-1 against Stuttgart last weekend, but also in doing that, because of Munich's 6-0 win, they lost top spot due to goal difference. And you would imagine that Munich will have them covered on goal difference between now and season's end, which will mean that Dortmund are going to have to make up some points on Munich. It starts this weekend. They go to Hertha Berlin, a Hertha Berlin side that are in indifferent form, not much to play for, mid-table side. But Dortmund go there knowing that they simply need the 3 points. A couple of big matches after the international break to come. How do they fare here against the Hertha Berlin side who, well, were one of the few sides in the first half of the season to actually take points off Borussia Dortmund and finish 2-2 that one in the reverse?
Who knows? Dortmund's form has just been so inconsistent. 2019 in particular, in this calendar year, they've dropped points against some of the lower teams in the Bundesliga. But from here on, they've lost top spot after being 9 points ahead. There's no excuses from here on. You have to beat teams such as Hertha Berlin if you are to have any chance of winning the Bundesliga title. If they don't pick up all three in this match, it's all over.
I agree. Absolutely all over. They still do have to play Munich, but this is a must win for Borussia Dortmund. Hertha Berlin completely safe from relegation, not going to play European football. You'd think next season, 2 wins from their last 7. Just an absolute must win here for Borussia Dortmund. And the man last time who got the brace against him, Salomon Kalou, has only got 1 goal in his last 5. Dortmund, no excuses here. Absolutely must record all 3 points. The battle for the top four, Munich and Dortmund will certainly finish in the top four, obviously. But Leipzig, Mönchengladbach, that fairy tale Eintracht Frankfurt and Bayer Leverkusen, obviously all in action this weekend. And some interesting tests. Leipzig, how do they respond from a disappointing 0-0 against Augsburg? Only 2 wins from their last 5. This time they travel to Schalke. We know how poor Schalke have been. 3 straight defeats in this competition. Obviously, a woeful performance midweek. They've conceded, I think, 21 in their last 5. Leipzig, though, on their travels this season, haven't been as strong. They have won their last four, though, on the road against sides that you'd expect them to defeat, four of the bottom teams. Schalke are one of those bottom sides. How does Schalke respond? We talk about Munich responding from a disappointing defeat. Schalke conceding seven at Manchester City. Feel the doors open here for Leipzig to get a road win?
Perhaps. I'm very interested in Schalke from this point on for the remainder of the season. They have been eliminated in the Champions League. It just appeared to be a burden, really, just given the fact that they are battling for relegation in the Bundesliga. But now they only have the Bundesliga to focus on. They can put all their focus and energy into that competition. So I would love to see if their results improve from here on in. But doesn't get a lot tougher than Leipzig side, who are a little inconsistent, or have been a little inconsistent this season, but they do have quality, and they will be expected to win this match. And if they do not, then Champions League position is under threat, so they will go out here and hope to get the win against a Schalke side, who their future this season is a little unclear.
No doubt about it. And their position is under threat, you're correct in saying, with Mönchengladbach at home to Freiburg. You'd imagine they'd respond from their 1-0 against Mainz last weekend to back another win. By Leverkusen at home to Werder Bremen. It'll be a tough one. Bremen in great touch, but Leverkusen have just been very strong, particularly at home this season. The one I'm looking forward to, though, is Eintracht Frankfurt. They're at home to bottom place Nuremberg. Nuremberg with just 2 points from 12 matches on the road this season. Frankfurt win this and other results go their way. It could be the best win of it. Could be the best week of their season, obviously going through to the quarterfinals of the Europa League and possibly four straight wins in the Bundesliga to see them rejoin the top four. So a massive opportunity for Frankfurt to take care of the bottom placed side. Other matches this weekend, Augsburg up against Hannover. Huge chance for Augsburg to register another win and stay unbeaten in three and respond from that 0-0 against Leipzig last weekend and distance themselves further from the relegation spots. Stuttgart-Hoffenheim, big test for Stuttgart against Hoffenheim, who still pushing for a Europa League place. Wolfsburg-Dusseldorf, how on earth do Wolfsburg respond from that 6-0 loss to Bayern Munich last time out? I don't have the answer to that. But, of course, all the focus this weekend will still be on the top of the table, Munich and Dortmund, ahead of the international break. Keeping in mind Munich and Dortmund will meet one another after the international break, the third round after the international break, but within a week, because there are two rounds and also a German Cup. Sorry, the second round after international break, there is a German Cup midweek. So a busy start to Bayern Munich's post-international break period. Dortmund, of course, not in action in the German Cup any longer, but they will have to wait two rounds to take on Dortmund, but will be fully focused on the trip to Hertha Berlin this weekend, which will certainly be a stern test for the proud club. That is the Bundesliga action done. We are nearing the end to the program today, Dan, but just some other news stories to round out the show. Some injury news at Barcelona. Ousmane Dembele has been ruled out for up to a month with a torn hamstring. So obviously their trip to Betis, a little tougher with that news. But again, I think they are fully focused on securing that. Obviously the Copa del Rey to come. But the Champions League, he'll be back fit. The first leg of the Champions League next month, he should be fit for the second leg. And I think given the form that Messi, Suarez, yet to score in the Champions League, but the form that he's in, Coutinho, of course, getting amongst the goals, they've got some quality. They'll be okay, but they'll be looking forward to getting Dembele fully fit, back and firing very soon.
Yeah, unlucky there for the Frenchman going down and to be ruled out for a month. But I agree with you. I think Barca definitely have enough quality and depth to compensate for Dembele's absence. And like you said, he will be back for the Champions League, which is their main target this season.
And a couple of other transfer stories to round out the program. Big news emerging from Italy, from Tuttosport, and this is not the first time we've heard this, but Tuttosport reporting that Juventus will do everything they can to sign Kylian Mbappe next season. We know that Mbappe and Neymar will have their names linked to every club in coming months, but particularly in the transfer period. Mbappe, a target for Juve. There is talk that also Real with Zidane now will go for him, but those reports out of Italy saying they will go pretty hard and do everything within their power to acquire the talented youngster.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm not sure if I can see it eventuating. They have just spent a lot of money on Cristiano Ronaldo. Can they go and spend a whole another bunch of money on Kylian Mbappe, the world's brightest young superstar in world football. I'm not buying it just yet.
I wonder what sort of fee he'd go for, because that would be, you'd imagine, close to, if not more than, the Neymar fee. So could Juventus, after breaking their own transfer record, the Higuain record with Ronaldo, could they really go out and spend maybe 200?
But it'd be double Ronaldo's fee, roughly.
We will see. But Mbappe, I think, potentially could be on the way out. But again, he did say last week that he's very committed to the PSG project. So, yeah, not so sure at this stage. But the rumours will certainly continue. Away from rumours, onto reports. Big, big signing for Real Madrid already. Zinedine Zidane has acted and acted very quickly. Brazilian defender Militao from Porto has been picked up by Real Madrid for 50 million euro. This is huge. Militao was on the radar and linked to a number of top English clubs, a couple of Italian clubs as well. Real Madrid have very silently won the race. 50 million euro. The 21-year-old becomes Zidane's first signing after his return. Central defender signed a 6-year deal with the club, and that just provides some additional support to Varane and, of course, Sergio Ramos there in the heart of defence. Can also play on the left as well. So with, obviously, Marcelo on the doubts there, it will be interesting to see what the future holds. But that move will be processed, obviously, in the summer. He has one cap for Brazil at this point, but you'd imagine that with this move to Real Madrid, will certainly go on and be a key player for both club and country. 6 million he was signed by Porto for early on to start the season. So that's some good business done there by the Portuguese giants.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm not sure what was said behind closed doors and the deals and whatnot, but it seems like Zidane has come in and basically got the deal over the line, which is very interesting and very pleasing for the club.
After signing from Sao Paulo from last season, Porto one season, on his way to Real Madrid. 21 years of age, defender, can also play in defensive midfield as well, so very talented player, great pickup by Real Madrid. The last one to close out the program, Paul Scholes, of course, former Manchester United legend, has left Oldham as coach after just 5 games in charge. Doesn't always work out for the best, does it?
No, it does not. Similar to another member of that same era, Gary Neville, didn't last too long at Valencia.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think he lasted a little longer than 5 games. But on that note, we are done for the week. Enjoy all of the football action on the weekend and join us Monday to do it all over again. For now, for myself, Adriano Del Monte and Damon Palmer, this has been Afternoons here on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia and right around the world. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.
You're listening to Afternoons on FNR, Football Nation Radio with Adriano De Monte and Rick D'Andrea.